It's the Rick Emerson Radio. You know what I feel like today? I feel like Kiff. Kiff, scrub my back. And just like a lot of...
So you never... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, now it's all falling apart. What?
So you never did say what happened with you and the therapist.
Oh, man, that's kind of anticlimactic. So I was going to call your girl Wendy, which is weird because every time you say Wendy, and I just get the Beach Boys song going in my head. And so you say Wendy, and in my background I get the Wendy, and then it takes like 2 or 3 seconds to focus again. I was going to call your girl Wendy because I'd called my shrink weeks ago because I was having some sort of mental collapse. And she didn't call me back. She didn't call me back for like 3 days. Thanks. Thank you. One might even say thank you. So she didn't call me back for like 3 days. And then she got back. Hello, Rick. This is Noreen. And then she left me this long message, the upshot of which is that she cannot see me at this time. She said, I am, Rick, I'm
really booked, and...
Here's the thing. I don't mean the dog on Noreen. She was, and I don't mean this to sound corny. This is where Rick Emerson pulls back the curtain. You get to see him as a human being.
Stop talking about yourself like that.
I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. I don't know why. It all started when they tied Tim's dad to a tree.
My old shrink,
she was my shrink for a long time up until a couple years ago. And then I was all like, aha, I am perfect and without flaws. Now I will stop coming now. So I stopped coming to the shrink appointments and blah, 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 blah. So a couple weeks ago, I was just like, oh, boy, I'm just having a bad time of it. So I leave this message. I'm like, hi, I'm all crazy. When can you see me? So she calls me back like 3 days later. I could have been dead. I could have been in a closet next to that Ray Combs guy. She calls me back and she leaves me this message. And I should have known because I'd gone to her website. And again, I don't mean to dog her because she was, as they say, there for me at a tough time, blah, 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 blah. And it's been a lot. It really is just like you're talking about some ex-girlfriend, isn't it?
Because, mm-hmm.
You know, she was there for me when I needed it, and she meant a lot to me. And I guess I can't be too angry. It's been years. She's moved on in her life, and I guess I can't expect her to stay in the same place and be the same woman she was when I was with her. It really does sound like I'm talking about some chick. So, but I go to her website, and she's basically just doing, like, I don't say weird, but, like, you know, like... sort of like just couple-y weekend retreat, blah, 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 kind of stuff. Like Dr. Phil relationship stuff and whatever and all of that. So she's just become, like, more specialized. That's kind of just what she that's all she does right now is basically just stuff like that. Where she gets, like, 15 couples and they go and they go to some ski lodge somewhere and they talk about feelings or sweaters or something. And that's it. So that's what she's doing right now. And then she said,
and plus, I mean, even if I really was able to see you one-on-one, I'm booked all the way through April, and so I'm just...
But then, so I was just... And as I was despairing, and I was writing, and I was getting the number of your shrink, Wendy, and I was tempted, and I still am, by the way, just to go see your shrink at least a time or two just for show material. And just to tell her, and maybe just make up things about you. Or maybe just make up things about you and I. And then I decided that...
Okay, that's messed up.
No, I'm not really going to do that. I did toy with that idea for like 10 seconds, and then I thought no. But and it would just be too weird. Like, I can't go to your shrink, because it would just be... Because I'm assuming, maybe wrongly, that most of your problems with your shrink don't involve me. Maybe they do. I don't want to know. It's none of my business.
No, I was seeing the shrink, actually, when we weren't...
When you were
when
off
we
the air?
When we weren't on the air, yeah.
Oh. Okay, well, was it related to that? No, it's none of, I mean, you don't have to answer any of these questions. Was it related to unemployment?
A little bit.
Because that can mess with you.
A little bit of everything. Yeah, yeah. It was kind of went through a bad time.
Well, that's when I started to go. I saw Noreen. I wasn't unemployed. This is not a secret. I started to see my shrink when I was doing the national show, when I was doing the syndicated show. And I know that I'm one of those, like, guys, like, blah, 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 I had the big national show. What do I have to complain about? But it was just like, and I'm not going to say, like, my problems are worse than, I mean, there's a billion guys who had it, like, worse than me. But it just sucked. I just hated my life and just woke up every day and was just like, God, I wish I was dead. Just every, I saw a great cup they sell in The Onion. The Onion sells this coffee mug that just says, I wish I was dead in big letters. And that was me at that time. Because I just, and if you've seen Bigger Than Jesus, you kind of know the whole thing. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. So I started seeing her at that time. Da, 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 da. So we now I'm flashback to a couple weeks ago. So I toyed with calling your shrink, but then I didn't because I knew that I would kind of just be doing it so I could talk about it on the show. So I saw Sarah's shrink again last night, and that is not the right way to do it. And guys especially, and you know this, Sarah, guys have guys have difficulty admitting when they have issues that need to be dealt with, and it's a and I know this because me too. Like, because for years, any number of women were like, "You really need to see, you know, you need help and a shrink." And I'm like, "Shut your mouth, woman!" You know, and she was all. And then, like, I would eventually break down and go to the shrink, but not because I felt like I needed to, although I clearly did. I would just go to placate, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but I would go to placate a woman, you know? A woman who was right, by the way. They were always right about it. It's just I never went for that reason. I was never, like, they were correct, but that's just incidental. I never saw that at the time. So I would just be like, fine, I'll go if it'll shut up. And so I would go, and I would sit in the shrink's office, and the shrink would be like, so, and the shrink, God love them, they're trying to do their job. Like, so, you know, what's going on? You know, and I'm just like, nothing, I'm fine, you know, I just, my girlfriend, she's crazy, she thinks I got problems. She's projecting, if you ask me. Like, 5 seconds into the meeting, I would find a way to throw it onto the girlfriend. Like, this sort of stupid mental jujitsu. Like, so, Rick, what's going on? Well, you know, I don't want to point fingers. My girlfriend is a little insecure. She thinks I'm crazy. Can you believe that? I say, like, making big crazy eyes and sweating. Well, this is turning into a long conversation, but, it was my point. And so I went to see Noreen for a long time, and she can't do it now. So she referred me to this guy she works with, this guy, John. And I've never seen, I don't think I've ever seen a male shrink before. And I think for, like, the first couple shrinks I went to, God, I sound retarded. The first couple shrinks I went to were women, but just, I think, because of luck, like happenstance. And then I just started, like, going to female shrinks, like, by choice. And it was probably the best thing for me in the long run, because I think that I would reveal more to a female shrink at that time, because I was just, because I was, like, trying to be funny. And I would be like, what other personal problems do I have that I can unveil? Let me dig around in my mental footlocker. I called this girl dad one time. Is that weird? You know, or whatever. I would just, like, you know, whatever. Like, what's the weirdest thing I can find in my memory to, like, you know. Just because I'm sitting there on the couch going, like, maybe the and how messed up is that? That I'm in the shrink's office. Like, you know, a woman I'm paying, at the time, especially, I was paying an untold, I don't want to tell you how much I paid the shrink. And I'm just sitting there trying to get her to have a crush on me. So I'm like, what other problems can I dig out of my mental trunk and air out in front of my therapist so she'll think I'm challenging and filled with layers and complexity and that I'm a bad boy outlaw living on the edge, when really I'm just some idiot on the couch who's just an ass. So I think it worked out for me well in the long run, though, because I would just be sitting there, even with Noreen, who was hot and looked like Diane Keaton, still does, I guess. I would just be sitting there trying to impress my shrink with how crazy I was. For whatever reason, because that's what idiot guys do. And so then I ended up just kind of telling everything. And anyway, then I ended up feeling better. So I've never gone to a male shrink before. So this is the best part about it, though. So she's like, so I'm going to give you the number for my colleague, John, and, you know, you can, you know, if you're comfortable seeing a man, and see if you can pick out the key phrase in this. When my shrink refers me to her colleague, she goes, so you can call my colleague John. I mean, you, I don't know if you've seen a male therapist before. He's, I mean, you know, if you're okay with that, he's totally non-judgmental, Rick. Like she says, and like I can tell, and it's a voicemail, I can tell that she's underscoring it and like bolding it, like verbally. That's, I mean, you, and she just lays it on so heavy. She's like, you know, you can see him. He's totally non-judgmental. Ass. I mean, that's the implication, right? Is that I'm just such a dick that I've got to see somebody who would just, you know. Anyway, so.
Oh, no.
No, of course not. So, anyway, so that's Monday. So I'm going to see my my shrink on Monday.
Cool.
So there you go. So
are you
going
to give us all the details?
Well, that would sort of. Why would I then pay? I could just go. There's probably a shrink listening. That's what I should have done. That's what you could think of the money you and I could have saved, especially when we were unemployed. We could have, well, I guess not when we were unemployed. I guess now. Think of the money we could have saved. You know there's a shrink listening to me right now. You know there's a shrink list. I should just have my therapy sessions on the air. Think of the, that's probably illegal, though. That probably violates some CBS. That's like a payola thing, maybe. Well, whatever. Anyway, so, yeah, so no. So that's Monday at 6. Y'all want to come by. So that's Monday at 6. So, yeah, you'll get to hear about it. So that's true. And I know that, and I never have seen the male. How weird that I think I've had a male massage therapist, but not a male mental therapist. How strange is that? So, yeah, he's a big black man. So
how do you know?
Because there was his photo was there.
Okay.
It had his photo. And he was just, and he was, you know, and he, you know, so it was like a photo of Noreen and then blah, 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 blah. And
well, that'll probably be good for you because you won't spend the whole time trying to get him to have a crush on you.
Yeah, well, we'll see. That's a good guy. We should go out on that. Tim Riley will be joining us in just a few seconds at the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Later on this hour, Scotty J will step into the studio. We will do today's top five. Top five. Is the voice, is my, the tone of my voice changing as I look towards the Ministry of
it
Aaron?
Is.
Scotty J will join us for the top five and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, he's your prophet, he's your seer, he's your revelator, he is your God now. He's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
That car is still on fire.
And that's it, and there you go.
The Banfield eastbound at 201st. The left lanes are open, though. Try not to slow down too much to look at the car on fire.
It is the car of hellfire.
So we have three different forecasts, so pick the one that you like the best.
I'm sorry? What?
We have three different weather forecasts.
Oh,
so pick the one that pertains to you that you like the best.
Okay.
KGW says freezing rain at 5 o'clock. Coin says snow flurries at 10 tonight. K2 says snow and freezing rain tomorrow morning. So put them together and use a combination of all three.
I'm sorry. So who says what again? Oh, you threw it away.
Gone.
I'm sorry, I was distracted by a thing.
What type of thing?
It was a shiny thing.
I can see why. Well, let me tell you about Comcast.
I'll just make up whatever the weather's going to be.
Right.
So is it going to be worse than it is today?
Oh, always, yes.
Okay. The answer to that is always yes. Every day.
It's why you need us. Tomorrow will always be a worse day.
Oh, wait, is that a V for Vendetta thing?
One of them.
You will always need us?
Yes.
You never let them forget that they need us. There's something there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got nothing.
Well, your Comcast bill is going to go up. Now, Comcast says it's going to go up 4% for the average customer. But if you have their 70-channel standard cable package, it'll go up 7.9%. So I guess that doesn't make you an average customer, which is $3.73 a month to $50.89. The cost of digital platinum will go up 6.5%, which is not an average customer, to $111.99.
Am I the only one that doesn't even know what cable package he has? I swear.
I have a combination of a couple things.
Do you know? I mean, could you, like, if I asked you to write down the name of the specific package you have?
No.
I have no idea. This, and it's so bad sometimes. This is not cable.
And I have three pages of hidden charges, too.
This is not Comcast's fault. I'm sure it's my fault somehow for being a stupid customer.
No, it's because of the increased value of its services, according to Comcast.
I'm just saying I am stupid because I'll call up sometimes. And I'll, like, every now and again, there'll be some sort of glitch because they do my, whatever, they offer my internet crap too, my, whatever, my cable,
I have to say
my cable internet.
Yeah.
And it's something, you know, it'd be wackier. I won't be able to, you know, it'd be fuzzy or something. And I'll call up and they'll say, and, you know, and to their credit, I always get right through to the live operator. And they'll say, Comcast Technical Support, what type of service do you have? And then I realize that I don't know. It's like when our truck was stolen for the third time and I realized I still didn't know the license plate number. So, but they'll say, like, what is the nature of your service? And they'll say, I don't know. And then it all just goes downhill from there, because how can I reasonably expect them to help me? Although they ought to know. They got the computers in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to hell with that. All right.
Well, the Congress deregulated most price controls over the cable industry under the provisions of the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which benefited broadcasting as well. And general consumer prices in the Western United States increased, well, kind of like 33%, but benefited the common man.
Of course.
But Comcast has a new competitor if you live in Washington County. Well, it's coming soon. At least they're trying to. Verizon is trying to convince local regulators to give them permission to offer cable TV over their network. So they say that's going to take 12 to 18 months.
There's a joke there somewhere.
There is. There are plenty of jokes everywhere to be found.
I don't know what it is. I got nothing.
Well, Goodfellas actor Paul Sorvino pulled a gun on his daughter's ex-boyfriend over the man pounded on her hotel room door and made threats.
Mira Sorvino?
It says Paul Sorvino.
No, yes. His daughter Mira?
Mira on the wall. I don't know.
We've all gone kooky. Is Paul Sorvino is Mira Sorvino's dad, right?
Yes.
Does anybody know who I'm talking about?
I'm talking about Amanda Servino.
Amanda Servino. I need Amanda hug and kiss. Okay, let's stop this now. Paul Sorvino was Paulie in Goodfellas. Mira Sorvino was in Mighty Aphrodite. I believe that he is her father. Paul Sorvino, you're saying now, pulled out a gun and threatened a man who was dating his daughter. I'm wondering if the daughter in question is Mira Sorvino.
No, this is the daughter, Ormando.
Okay. Ormando?
I'm sorry. It's
Ormando, hug and kiss! Have we all lost the ability to speak?
I don't think the air has changed in this room in the past week.
Oh, I'm so glad.
This is the daughter named Amanda. Now, how about that second name?
Ormando.
I have no idea.
I am Ormando. I would like now to rub you with essential oils and whisper the tales of a thousand nights of Arabian lust in your ear.
Amanda said... He got in my father's face and said, go ahead, Paul, shoot. I ain't done nothing wrong.
Why would you ever get in Paul's room and look? And I know men out there who are listening.
This is in Stowe, Vermont, at a hotel January 3rd.
Does it have a picture of Paul Sorvino there?
It does.
You don't want to F with that guy. He'll kill you. And look, I mean, I'm not saying that all Italian-Americans are members of the mafia, but come on. You look at that guy. Guys out there who know Paul Sorvino, you know of what I speak. That guy will effing kill you. And here's the thing about being a guy like Paul Sorvino. Being a guy like Paul Sorvino is like being Tony Soprano or James Gandolfini at this point. James Gandolfini doesn't really have to be affiliated with the mafia. All he has to do is be James Gandolfini, the guy who played Tony Soprano, because you know that there are guys who really are affiliated, as they say, who would gladly kill somebody on his behalf. You know that that's true. You know that James Gandolfini could get on television or on his blog right now and be like, look, I need a real mobster to kill a guy for me. And there's some dude to be like, hey, James Gandolfini wants it. I'm going to effing take care of it. And he's going to go kill. Lee Iacocca tells that story. Lee Iacocca tells us when he was warring with Henry Ford. When Lee Iacocca was forced out of Ford before he went to Chrysler with my tax dollars, which he squandered building K cars, when he left Ford... He talked about his phone ringing in the middle of the night. He picked it up. Hello? And is Lee Iacocca dead?
Yes, he is.
Really?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
I'm 99% confident he is.
He picked up the phone in the middle of the night, and a guy said, hello, Lee Iacocca. And he said, why, yes. And look, if you need Henry Ford to be taken care of, I can make that happen. I can get rid of him. And Lee Iacocca, what do you mean? I mean, I'll mulch him or whatever it is. I'll clamp him, whatever it is they offer to do. But he says some mobster called up in the middle of the night, offered to kill Henry Ford for him, just because he was a prominent Italian. And another prominent Italian, not all of whom are mobsters.
No.
I mean, not all of them. Here's Tim Riley.
So anyway, this woman... His daughter, Amanda, is 36, and the ex-boyfriend in question's name is Daniel Snee, and he's 21.
Snee.
And you're right. This fellow Paul Sorvino is also the father of Mira Sorvino.
Mira.
Who won an Oscar for the 1995 comedy The Mighty Hermaphrodite.
Mighty Hermaphrodite. Zing. Oh, I swear to God, I'm Googling right now to see if that's been done. Hold on. The whole show is stopping right now while I'm Googling Mighty Hermaphrodite. Wait, hold on. M-I-G-H-T-Y. Are you trying to Google faster than me? Screw you. I got it done. Bam.
Oh, I got it.
Mighty Hermaphrodite on DVD, $9.99. That's fantastic. Mighty Hermaphrodite. That is that's genius. Of course. Oh, I shouldn't go to this website.
I went there and it's totally a porn site.
Totally. I'm sorry, CBS. That was for show prep just now.
Yeah.
I just went to like old hot slut movies.com.
Somebody just picked up a hotline in New York.
Seriously. There's a red light. There's a red alarm going off somewhere. Porn alert. Mighty Hermaphrodite. Ah, fantastic. All right. My face hurts. Sleep is where I'm a pirate. Here's Tim Riley.
A criminal defense lawyer was arrested after a sheriff's deputy found him naked with a 14-year-old girl in a courthouse conference room. Larry Charles is charged with solicitation, attempted statutory sexual assault, and related counts. Sheriff's deputy making his rounds in the Criminal Justice Center Monday afternoon looked into a lawyer's conference room on the third floor and discovered Charles and the girl. He had asked for sex, but there was no physical contact we're aware of by the time the deputy arrived at the scene. The girl was not a client of the lawyer, and their exact relationship is not clear.
That's creepy. Let's see. This. Let's do Stan here, and then we'll break. We'll come back with Scotty J. Stan, hello, sir.
Oh, hey, Rick. How's it going?
Hey, Stan, what's up?
Nothing. I was going to call in yesterday, but I was busy in the snow. Hey, I was sitting next to Sarah on the aircraft back from L.A.
Oh! Yeah, you saw me. Yeah, you saw me freak out. I'm doing well. How are you, Stan?
I'm doing okay. Thanks.
Yeah, he said that he's going to call in and make fun of me for.
Were you freaking out?
I was totally freaking out.
Is that on the way back?
Yeah.
No, you were going mental?
Yeah, but when we had gone to the airport completely sober and I was
Was it
because the plane was flying too high?
It was pretty good.
It was turbulent, though, was it not?
Well, okay, if you say so. It was turbulent before we ever got off the ground. She had to ask the flight attendant.
Now this
all the clinky clanky noises were. I didn't burst out laughing, but I was trying to hold it in.
Now did you attempt to calm her? Did you do that guy thing of like, now you know you're much more likely to be killed in a car wreck than in a plane crash?
I said that so many times. Yeah.
That's a man's job, is to placate with statistics and facts.
You know, I didn't want to come off as like creepy airplane guy.
Yeah.
You know? So I was going to offer, hey, you can, you know, squeeze my hand and crush it to death if you like.
We know that you meant in a platonic sense. All right.
Yeah. But, I mean, in any future flights, if she you know, wants a handhold or something, I'd be happy to fly. She's much cuter in person for all your listeners that have never met her.
Oh.
Don't you find in the photo she looks a little stumpy?
That probably didn't come out right, did it?
That's an old school reference there. No. No. Sarah photographs well, but is even better in real life.
Oh,
it's true.
And then the flight attendant gave her some song and dance story about, oh, that's the guy moving the plane and all that. That totally wasn't true.
It was totally a lie. It was making this weird, like, clanking noise.
Oh, did she make up, like, a cover story for the weird grinding of the plane?
It made no sense.
It's the food being transferred up from the cargo hold.
Oh, yeah. You can tell she's just making it up.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, because
she looked outside and saw a man standing on the wing.
Totally a man in an ill-fitting latex mask.
The flight attendant said if you had any questions to ask an attendant, so I saw an attendant.
Man on the wing of the plane! All right.
That was pretty good. And then she gets a bottle of wine. And, of course, the flight attendant can't make change, so she basically wants to give her money back, but... You know, I knew it was. I was pretty sure it was Sarah when she said, "Well, why don't you just bring me another bottle?"
Bam! All right, thank you, sir.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless you, Stan.
Hey, best show ever.
Thank you.
Stan, it's nice to meet you.
That's fantastic. That's a great. That's a guy who knows how to find a punchline. Excellent. That's Stan. Thank you. All right. we should break here. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back with Scotty J. It's 503-733-2970. Like us at 3. Don and Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. How about your therapist, says this email. Your ex-therapist leaves you a message that her colleague is not judgmental, and you take that statement immediately as if you yourself are being judged. She clearly knows exactly what you need, right down to the core. I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah, sorry, Nori. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley joins us in just a moment. Oh, and we have breaking news. We have breaking news that we'll get to in just a second. So Tim Riley will be here in just a skosh, as our Eason friends say. Let's do this. Let's talk to Wilton. Wilton, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, brother man?
Hey, happy new year, Rick, Sarah.
Thank you, sir.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, Leah Iacocca, I don't think, is dead.
No, many people have corrected us about that. Apparently, yeah. Leah Iacocca still lives.
The Snoop Dogg commercials just recently come to mind. But Vito Sighted and then Tiger, the way on the corner of Garden and Olsen has a huge selection. I go there all the time.
Being jammed by the Coca-Cola company. By where?
On the corner of Olsen and Garden Home.
Okay.
And Tigard, so that fellow can go and pick it up there. Also, Aviso sighted in McMinnville now on the corner of 2nd.
Fantastic.
And Hill Road, so hey, it's spreading.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Anyway, dude, take care.
Thank you. God bless you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have a little bit. Let's open the news. And then I'll play the breaking news sounder, and we'll do that.
And now, thank you. From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have...
Do you have some breaking news? You don't.
I have some breaking news. Okay, then no. With some breaking news, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Godlike former program director Bruce Agler. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hello. You have your breaking news with us.
Calling in with breaking news. I hate to scoop Tim, but...
Well, that's all right.
Just came across my wires here at West Hills Central.
Yes.
Homicide detectives now looking into KDND contest death.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Sacramento Sheriff John McGinnis is reportedly alarmed by audio recordings of Intercom Top 40 KDND, the ENDS water drinking contest that may have led to the death of 28-year-old Jennifer Strange, and has directed homicide detectives to look into whether a crime has been committed.
Oh. There has been.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
The sheriff had said previously no charges would be filed because Strange had participated in the contest of her own free will, but after the Sacramento Bee obtained recordings of the show, which we've been hearing today,
yes,
which apparently include morning rave talents talking about the potential dangers of drinking too much water, McGinnis has decided that further investigation is warranted. Manslaughter charges could be filed if it's determined the air talents did not render aid to the victim.
They just sat there and played laugh tracks.
That'll get your picture in R&R.
And in answer to your question as to how if they had 10 people get fired, that isn't just the morning show. That includes the PD and several other folks like that.
Why really? Not the GM?
Yeah. So did this stop at the program director?
Well, I don't know that. I just know that in the listing of names, I thought it did include the PD.
That's
and
the way it'll happen.
There's like other programming folks. But, you know, we're not entirely blameless in all this. I mean, obviously we're blameless in this situation. But, you know, we have done a few things on the program in the past, such as the Tim Riley Gun Fest and so
nobody
on.
Nobody was
there
killed.
Listeners involved.
Yeah. No one was machine gunned. Matt was there. Matt was there to quell any violence with a well placed shot to the calf.
And we were at a legal firearms range.
That's
true. Yeah. So
that is true,
I mean,
man.
I don't know that there's really any reason to worry too much about that. It's just I remember the word we got from our insurance company. You know, I was told we needed to get a special rider on the insurance and had the Stephanie and HR contact
yeah.
the folks at Fisher Corporate, and they just laughed and said, "You're going to do what?"
Yeah.
And Stephanie said, "So I don't think you're going to get the waiver." And I said, "Well, what should we do?" And she said, "Well, I say just go ahead and do it."
Good times.
Okay.
It really was. It was a simpler time. There really is no the idea, and that was only 5 years ago. That wasn't like in the golden days of radio. The idea that we could just have listeners out there firing automatic weapons on the air is just fantastic.
Well, just a big difference too between these gigantic companies and a smaller company like Fisher or something.
It is true. All right. So I guess we'll wait for further developments on that. That'll guarantee you some placement in the street talk section there in the daily facts of the hot sheet or whatever that R&R thing is.
I'm checking the Sacramento Bee now, and he said, let's see, we talked about the manslaughter charge. McGinnis, the sheriff, expressed his condolences to Strange's husband and three children. Oh my God, she actually had kids too. Said detectives would meet today and review the coroner's findings into her death after she drank nearly 2 gallons of water as part of the contestant to win a video game system.
Yeah, it does.
Why would a newspaper be called a bee?
That's really what
there
needs to be
bees
investigated.
In the valley. I guess maybe that's why. I don't know.
All right, fantastic. All right, God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, godlike former program director Bruce Agler with the breaking news. Thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome, sir.
And there you go. Fantastic.
KLTK!
Well,
somebody
done.
On
there
the phone from the bee.
That's fantastic. All right, well, there you go. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, emergency crews scrambled today to restore electricity to 80,000 customers nationwide. That's not very many, so why should we care? They're following ice storms that snapped trees and power lines from the southwest plains to New England. The onslaught of freezing rain left little doubt that it is January, putting to rest any notion that the balmy weather in late December could last so long. Power company officials said most of the 600,000 homes and businesses lost power over the weekend are back online. But in some harder-hit areas, especially in rural regions, they'll have to wait till tomorrow at least. Meteorologists, who are usually wrong, are warning more misery could be on the way for Texas. Good enough for them. Where freezing rain pushed Governor Rick Perry's, not the one you're thinking of, inauguration ceremony indoors to Austin. Also, state police blame slick roadways for at least 45 deaths across the country.
So it's like we're bringing Mount Hood to them now.
it's about time.
All right. Greg, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Rick. I've got an interesting story for you. I'll try to keep it short. When I was just out of high school in Detroit, probably 1994, they had the craziest thing you'll do to win a brand-new Suzuki Sidekick on our local big rock radio station, right?
Okay.
So all of my friends entered in these things, you know, what can we make Greg do? And they finally pulled me in as one of the top 10 contestants with 30 hours notice. And the idea was that I would dress up like a giant Oreo cookie, dress my doused in a rubbing alcohol and water solution to create a cold-ish flame as I jumped 75 feet through a ring of fire, igniting myself and dunking out in a vat of milk. They said that their attorneys advised them, no fire, but everything else, it's a go.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm not making this up.
God, I hate radio.
The truth. So we went around, you know, we're kids, we're broke, and we went to some big construction sites and appropriated some lumber, and we built a tank that was 4 feet wide by 9 feet tall because of the height of the casters we had to buy, by 8 feet long. We supported the thing from inside with some 2x4s. We stole a swimming pool liner to hold the water. And we bought two 50-pound bags of what was flour from a Costco-like store that's in Detroit. And, you know, we showed up. And they disqualified me for being 15 minutes late on my show-up. And I was furious, shaking my fist at the world. That could have been mine. And the guy who won was an old obese farmer put on a leopard print Speedo and had a cow lick molasses off his belly. And, you know, I was a poor kid, and I could have used that money for college. You know, I wanted to go to school. As it turns out, after telling the story about 300 or 400 times, I had no experience at jumping from 75 feet and catching myself accurately into a 4 foot wide hole. I was going to decapitate myself. Thank goodness they disqualified me.
Hold on.
That's a good one. Thanks. Love your show.
Love your show.
All right, there you go.
Dario will tell that same story later on this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
It was about that long, too.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
That's a good one. Oh, I saw a new mascot. There was a dancing pizza slice in Tannisborne. I saw it yesterday.
That's Daria's new mascot?
No. I was just saying, changing the subject. Oh. That there's a new mascot.
That was subtle.
Way
to do that. Chunk.
There is a dancing pizza slice on Cornelius Road.
Did you hear the onion we played earlier?
I did.
Okay. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Renee Zellweger may have fallen in love with a former teen obsessed 1990s heartthrob.
Renee Zellweger, is that like a Rule Doll creation?
Sources say...
You mind if I just lay down on the studio floor for a while?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, I'm just going to lay down.
I'll make this story brief. I know it's almost time for this Scotty countdown.
Don't worry about me.
Renee is dating former Beverly Hills 90210 star Luke Perry.
The couple
was spotted at a formica table at the Tower Bar restaurant in the Los Angeles Hotel Sunset Tower. The New York Post said they're definitely on a date. They both look super skinny. He was very grungy, baggy jeans, lumberjack flannel shirt, a baseball cap. He had a white button-down skirt with glasses.
I'm trying to find the right position.
They talked very closely and were rubbing their knees.
I wasn't even listening.
This story is over. And now, on to the program.
Okay.
You're making weird noises down there.
No, I've just got this tension in the small of my back.
I'm going to have to call the Sacramento Bee.
Please don't leave me in here, Tim.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'll get up fine.
I think I might meet more sensible people on public transportation this afternoon.
All right. We've all gone a little wacky, I think. Should we make Scotty J do the rest of the show?
Yes.
All right, hold on. Where's the augmented bit of this? So, Tim, if you want to hang in here, we'll make Scotty J.
Scotty J. Nope. This is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty J., hi, how are you?
Good afternoon.
All right, Scotty, so here's the thing. I've got the top five loaded.
Yeah, do you even have time for that?
Sure we do. I'm not going to do it, though. You're going to do it. So, Tim will read the top five. You can make observations.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see how that goes.
Sarah, should we roll the top five? You're not allowed to, use a cheat sheet. You have to do it from memory. You have to make observations on the cuff like I do.
Well,
you're
that's
not,
for
you're
him,
not,
though.
Not
well,
allowed to have a script. Yeah, but just
you.
All you have to do is then the intro and then just the names of the songs.
And you can throw a script.
Ignore all of Scotty's notes. Scotty, look at this. This top five is 3 pages long, Scotty.
Well, he can throw tidbits in, right?
Yes. You could do it, Scotty. We have faith in you.
Well, we believe in you.
I need a sheet. I mean, why do
you don't need a sheet.
You
can
read off this one.
You've got that big... No. He has to do it from memory. You've got that big brain. All right, let's roll the top five. Don't look over Tim's shoulder.
Four.
You're using
three,
my microphone.
Two,
completely
going to
fly.
One.
Yes. Secondly,
fire.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah. Hey, you can't hear anything, right?
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
And as we wait for Sever's warm embrace and the blistering rays of 100 degree plus...
This is written poorly. The 100 degree sunshine that may follow... Let's take this moment to live in the now, remembering that there is a deep breeze amongst us.
Here are the top five soul songs according to Scotty J. So should I read a little bit of this before I read that, Scotty?
Okay.
Audible mention going to Tom Jones and Sirius Matthews. Baby, it's cold outside.
Okay, because my script was taken away, I knew absolutely nothing about this song.
Oh, stop being mean.
Throw
him out of the boat and let him swim.
I do remember a couple of things from that, just even at a glance. Tom Jones tried to change his name a couple of times. And
that doesn't even say that.
It does too. Somewhere in there. It says something about him trying to change, or that the executives were trying to change.
Oh, I see.
And he absolutely refused.
Oh, beautiful.
The song is great. Hurt. It's cold outside. And it is cold outside, by the way. So it's very.
Is it cold where you are?
That's right. It's very relevant.
Oh, baby.
At number five, it is the Styx and Cold War.
I believe this is from the Paradise Theater album. Or Mr. Roboto. I'm sorry. I didn't screw that up. It's from the Mr. Roboto CD.
It's called Gilroy Was Here.
It is the Platinum Album Tour of 1983.
That's right. It's Gilroy Was Here.
These are the backing tracks of Mr. Roboto.
Yeah, way to help me out, Tim. I appreciate it. Normally, I'd just be saying something like, hey, I'll ride some sticks on AM 970.
Despite an ambitious stage show, Kilroy brought tensions within the band to a breaking point in 1984.
That's right. They broke up in 84.
All right, what you need to do is just listen to what Tim says and repeat it.
That's what I did.
Oh, boy.
Okay, let's move on.
Here's the sound of Paula Abdul with a cold heart.
All right. The
first album.
Yeah. Cold-hearted snake.
Cold-hearted snake. You know, it's cold outside. And Rick is snaking me on this deal here because I have no...
No, you're at a wedding.
All right. Well, Paula Abdul, actually, right now on American Idol.
And drunk.
She is a she was a dancer, a cheerleader, and a singer, if you did not know that. She had a couple of hits. Actually, she had 5 hits on this album. Don't remember the name because that was taken away from me.
This is Forever Your Girl.
Wow, Tim. That's great. It's probably going to be the fastest top five as well.
This is a multi-platinum album with 5 of her top 3 singles.
That's right. She had 5 top 3 singles. They hit the top 3 on the charts.
I was having problems with the mathematics
part. Yeah, it needs to be reworded.
At number 3, it's Tony Locke with Funky Cold Medicina.
Okay, that'd be Tone Loke.
Okay.
With Funky Cold Medina. Get it? It's cold outside.
Oh, he's a former member of the Compton Crips.
Come on.
That's interesting, actually. Did not know that. What a way to...
I did. You wrote that.
I haven't read it for like 2 weeks.
He's a cut and pasted. Come on.
We were supposed to have this cold thing 2 weeks ago.
He's known for his deep, gravelly horse voice.
No, horse voice.
Now, see, I would play the horse sounder right there, but I'm not allowed to do that either, apparently.
Yeah, make horse noises.
Gee, I don't know. Okay, this is going horribly wrong. That's why I don't have my own show, all right? Only thing I remember about this song, I think it was in the 90s, am I correct? Who knows? I don't have a chart to look at, no internet. No,
I don't remember the 90s at all.
And the only thing I remember about this song is like being at a cattle company. Cattle company used to have a bar, and we would just totally have a few toddies and dance, and that's pretty much the 90s for me. Cattle company was a steakhouse, right? And they were all over the place.
Was it like a Black Angus?
Exactly. In fact, Black Angus sued cattle company at one time because cattle company was trying to use their name. Therefore, they became White Angus. That's right. They became cattle company. And
that's a gripping story.
Hey, another part of the grippingness is they used to have Weekend Wednesday dancing. So, you know, for it to become Wednesday, kind of like today at this time, we'd be looking forward to 5 o'clock going Weekend Wednesday cattle company. All right, we're going to move on.
All right. Did we do a 400 Cold as Ice yet?
Yes!
It's the number two song.
I love this song.
I like this song, too. Reminds me of my youth.
Now, I don't remember if this is from their first album, but I'm going to say yes and take a guess there.
This is from Double Vision.
You remember that song, Sarah?
Double Vision? Yes. This song is my friend Tuggy in the karaoke.
Have you had Double Vision before? I'm trying to involve you in the show.
Now, their third
album,
their third album, Head Games, is more of a back to basic effort.
Is my spelling that bad?
It's getting late in here. This album was also successful due to the thunderous Dirty White Boy.
And then now, was Head Games on that, or was that the
yes,
next
it
album
was.
That was
another
following?
Title track hit was Head Games.
See, this one's chock full of hits.
It is.
And it is cold outside, cold as ice right now, AM 970.
Why don't you play Baby It's Cold Outside by Dean Martin?
Oh, I should have. All right, let's move along.
We're actually doing
the top five cool songs, since it is cool and cold. Oh, cold songs.
Cold
sorry.
Songs.
I was thinking of Cool and the Gang. He should have been in there on this one, too.
Here at number one is Tom Petty and Out in the Cool.
All right, now that's a good choice, I think, right? Out of all the songs I could pick,
bumper music.
Yeah, I picked Tom Petty. It's a good song to go into the break to, right?
Yeah.
Why did you make this song number one, Scotty?
I made it number one. And why am I number one-ing myself anyway? Because I went and saw Tom Petty this summer, and the guy's awesome.
This album was the second that Petty produced with Jeff Lynne, the lead singer of ELO, after the successful 1989 Full Moon Fever.
Yeah, ELO, Jeff Lynne, lead singer, and I don't know if he's, the producer of the band or if he's, a head man of the band.
He might be.
Secondly, this may make me look like an idiot, but I don't think there's much
out
there.
Don't you worry about that.
I thought this Out in the Cold song was relatively new because I hadn't heard it for a number of years. And to find out that it was on the second album, that was interesting. All right, I'm not an idiot.
He incorporated a little bit of his personal life into that. I thought it was a nice story.
It was kind of behind the music. It had punch and relatability.
Thank you.
I think you're right, Scotty J. We'll take this to break.
I think I'm going to quit.
Back after this. Don't be a quitter, Scotty. Did I just fall from your arms down to your hand? I'm out in the cold.
It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of our show.
Best top five ever.
I want to go back and listen to that segment to see what it sounded like to other people.
Totally. Where's that show close? Oh, here we go. I'm going to play this this show clothes that I found on a cart. We'll play that at the end of the program. All right. Oh, man. This whole program just accelerated today. It all started, as I said earlier, when Tim's dad got tied to a tree. And then that really just all went wacky after that. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, what's up?
Oh, my question was for Scotty. It was how Black Angus sued cattle company when they were both Stuart Andersons.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
All right, Scotty.
End this message.
Mike, would you repeat the question, please?
How was it that Black Angus sued Stuart or cattle company when they were both owned by Stuart Andersons?
That is an interesting question, Mike. No, I actually do have the answer. I don't remember who owned Black Angus, but they sued...
Doesn't Black Angus sound like a porn star?
Okay. I got the beat, baby.
Somebody at that Halloween mixer party I went to, when is Black Angus Young?
Oh, was he black?
No.
Oh. Well, but was
he
it funny?
It was hysterical.
Okay. No, that is
funny. And
then
he regretted it.
No, but it's funny. Black Angus Young. No, that's funny.
You know, another thing, if you're thinking porn names right now, that Girth Brooks thing, I swear I thought of that like 3-4 years ago. So I wonder how many other people on the planet...
Are you jealous that someone else may have used that?
I think you might have stole it from me.
Did you have an answer? Okay. Did you have an answer for Mike?
Yes, I do. The guy that owned Black Angus sued Stuart Anderson. Stuart Anderson had opened up Black Angus's of his own here in the local Portland area that I know of, and he was sued, so he had to change the name to Cattle Company. Then later on, Cattle Company became very famous, and they bought Black Angus back from the other dude. I don't remember his name, obviously, but that is the answer, I think.
Okay, so the guy who owned, Stuart Anderson, ended up buying out Black Angus then?
Yes.
The company that sued him.
Cattle company became so popular that they turned around and bought the Black Angus name, as far as I know. And then it went back to Stuart Anderson's Black Angus.
This is like listening to Stephen Colbert give the history of Aragorn's lineage.
I know a little bit about this. It was a watering hole for me, and I know about my watering holes.
All right, there we go. That's a topper. Thank you, sir.
Later.
All right, anything else you'd like to share with the people, Scotty?
Not really.
Any discussion about your watering hole?
It's cold outside.
You pointed that out.
Is that it?
No,
nothing else?
That's it. Don't drink and drive.
Yep. Say no to drugs.
That's right.
All right. Well, we were going to do Suburban Perspective, but I don't think we have time. We'll have to do it tomorrow.
I don't really have any views on anything.
Oh, no. You have views on lots of stuff.
Why don't we just get a little bit started?
Hillary,
what are we going to do?
I can name a couple.
Hold on. Scotty, oh, God, all right.
I don't even know what you're questioning, but I can't throw something in there.
Hold on a second.
Oh, Scotty has an idea.
Hold on. What is your idea?
It's not an idea. Hillary said something earlier today, like, I don't know who's running in.
All right, hold on. Scotty, what is the suburban perspective on Hillary Clinton?
That it's a bunch of BS. She knows exactly who's going to be running. That's all I have to say about that, because I saw that earlier today. You guys were talking about Hillary, and it's a bunch of BS that she's like, oh, we don't know who's going to be running. We got to get our ducks in a row, huh? She knows.
What does she know?
I don't know. They're probably putting together some crew to go out and, I don't know, take out the competition.
Who is putting together a crew to take out who? What competition?
The Clintons.
The Clintons are the competition.
The Clintons are putting together a crew probably to take out the competition.
Who?
And I'm not saying that in the biblical sense, like you always say.
In quotes.
But, I mean, they're probably scheming already, like this morning
I heard.
What
is the biblical sense of... biblical sense means hump. Are you kicking over my coffee?
Yes, I am.
Biblical sense means to have sex with.
Well, see, I thought you were using that as the, for real. You know,
so you're going to be running amok.
How ironic that you just put the words for real in quotes.
Well,
that's great on love. I don't even know what that means now.
Okay, I thought when you used the biblical sense term that you meant that
you know, this is the gospel. This is for real. I didn't know that you were meaning you were talking about sex there. You know, my mind's not always in the gutter.
Okay, Girth Brooks.
Girth Brooks. Yeah, porn name guy.
Anyways, okay, that's all I have to say about
it. I don't understand what you're saying. Who's doing what in the biblical sense with who? Whom?
You know, that's funny. All I was stating is that Hillary and them are probably putting...
Hillary and who?
And her gang. They're probably putting together a team.
What gang? The Rolling East Side Crips?
Something like
that. The Piru Bloods?
They're scheming to take out their competition right now. I don't know. Who do you suppose this is? It's probably Mailman Chris.
Probably. We'll talk to him.
All I can say is she's probably putting together a team, because I heard on the Miller Show this morning, and they were stating that when you put in Obama, the fourth one on the list is Hillary. Hillary's website comes up. So, you know, the scheming has begun.
The scheming by Hillary and her gang.
Yes, and my foot is all full of coffee right now. Who leaves a coffee cup where your shoes are? Anyways.
Is that like a Zen koan?
I don't know why there's a coffee cup under my feet.
Who puts the cricket husk inside the clock? All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No, not at all. We'll talk more tomorrow. All right. Is this Mailman Chris?
It is.
All right, hold on a second.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
I feel like my brain is just sort of oatmeal today. Hello, sir. How are you? I don't think we can. I'm so glad that this show isn't 5 hours. No disrespect. I couldn't do 5 hours. If I had to do another hour of the show right now, I would die. My brain, I would just turn into a puddle. I'd be like that big water snake in the abyss. I would just turn into nothing.
Well, it's good that you like spending time down there on the floor, because I think that you're going to end up on Friday.
Did I get to anything today?
You got most of it. You got the intercom, Kel's Cars, you know, about the Volvo, the Weekend Geek, Chelsea Handler Ticks. Well, you gave away one pair. Elise Scott or Brian Blank, you did not get the Star Trek film information, yeah. And you did not get to the story of Britney.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, we got lots of Britney news to get to tomorrow, so we'll try to make all of that up tomorrow. So I'm at three?
You're at three.
Three, all right. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Do we ever determine if you're at negative, does that mean you get to make Scotty?
No, I think I can't go to negative. I can just be at zero.
Oh, see, I think on Friday, if you're at negative, you should be able to make Scotty J Dome.
I think so, too, but, you know, I was overruled on that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Enjoy your day, sir.
Of course.
There you go, Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note of it, because we're back in 20 hours. We are back at 11 a.m. tomorrow after Stephanie Miller. Like us up next, Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11. And then Stephanie Miller tomorrow, 7 to 11 a.m. We'll be back tomorrow at 11. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Brian Blank and Lisa Goddard today. Coming up on tomorrow's program, more of the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Another top five, and we got to get to the Inquirer news as well tomorrow, so we'll do that. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom, Tim Riley. Scotty J. is our PEPA. I keep saying that. And, of course, the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is David Zinn. My friends, thank you for listening. Be safe out there. Drive carefully, and don't let the bastards grind you down. We will see y'all tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Bye.